morning, Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12. Familiar for a lot of us, this text right here. Verse 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning shall ye burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning as been prayed already. Lord, we pray for an awareness of your presence here today. I pray our hearts are prepared, our mind is prepared to hear from you. I pray that you would take all other distractions away from us, Lord, that we can focus on your word. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. I know you will speak to our hearts. Help us be attentive to what you have to say today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is, "Where Are You Living? Where Are You Living?" We know this as the Passover story. Most of us know, are familiar with it to some degree, probably. It was the redemption of Israel from over 400 years of being in slavery to the Egyptians. And then also, I mean, it was an actual thing. This actually happened. But it's also a type or a picture of the redemption of mankind through Jesus Christ. Everything in the story is a picture of Christ, just about and or what Christ did for us so that we could have eternal life. We see the lamb that would have to be taken. It had to be a lamb without blemish, without spot, pictured the spotless life of Christ. And that's why it said they would put the lamb up for a certain amount of days and make sure that it wasn't sick, there wasn't anything wrong with it. And so there was the Lamb of Christ. They would kill the lamb, and the whole congregation of Israel killed the lamb that evening. Pictures the death of Christ. And they would take the blood and they would put it on the doorpost and on the lintel, which Jesus is the door, right? Jesus is the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So the only way to God, the only way to eternal life is through the door, who is Jesus Christ. And so we see that. And then we see the faith of the people that's involved there. You know, faith is an action word. There's something involved in that. They were instructed that they had to stay in the house. The death angel was going to pass over Egypt. No, and the people that hadn't applied the blood, hadn't slain the lamb, didn't stay in the house. Boy, I mean, didn't stay. It's a picture of Christ as well, staying in Christ. If they didn't stay there, then they would be killed. The firstborn of them, of their generation, would be killed that night. And so there was a faith thing that was involved. Yeah, they had to do something because faith Faith doesn't, you know, we can't say that we just have faith. It's an action word. And so they had to stay in the house. They had to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. They had to burn anything left over from the lamb that they didn't eat. They had to have the lamb. And so all those things pointed to, faith in Christ. And then Egypt itself. Egypt is a picture of the life of sin. I thought about this. Think about it. They were in slavery over 400 years. So there was children that were born, and they lived their life and died in slavery. They didn't know anything else but that. And it's a great picture. You think about that. It's a picture of the world today. We look at this world that we live in today, and the way we were born in sin. I mean, we were born sinners. That's just the way it is. It's not that you're born saved and you do so many bad things and then you go to hell. You're born lost. And you're a sinner, and you need salvation from that. You need redemption from that. And boy, if you don't think this is a lost world, wait till you see that movie I was telling you about. When he goes out there and he gets those pro-choicers, and he starts talking to them, and he asked one lady flat out. He said, you would kill a baby. She said, I would kill it today. Just like that, just as easy as taking a drink of water. That's what she said. That's how the world we live in is. Man, I'm telling you what, it's crazy. And what happened, when Adam sinned, God withdrew his Holy Spirit from the human spirit. So that's the results. What we see is the results of that. Man functioned with a mind and did and does. A mind, an emotion, a will. He had everything but God. I think a week or two ago, what happened when Cain slew his brother Abel? And Cain had to run out. He was a vagabond, and he went out and he started a civilization. And that civilization had everything. It had people that could work in brass and metal and gold and builders, and they could make musical instruments. It was a whole civilization. We're living in one, by the way. It was a whole civilization, but it had everything but God. Listen, if you're living your life right now without God, without Christ, listen, you're living your whole life. And we look in the world that the majority of this world is living apart from God. They have everything. We've got technology. We've got computers and science and stuff and there's good that's done with it too. It's not all evil that's done. But mankind, I know people that are good folks. They're not out here living in wickedness, open wickedness, but they're still lost. There's a whole civilization. People have been born and died and lived their whole life and they lived their whole life apart from God. And if you're saved, you were living your life apart from God until you got saved. And so we see that happens, and a lot of people in the world are still that way. Have it all, but they don't have God. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Now, I'm going to tell you what the wages of sin. It is death, and death is passed upon all men, so we know that. And we also think of the wages of sin, the ultimate consequences of sin, hell, a life in hell, living, having to be cast into hell for eternity. We understand that. But that's not all the wages of sin. The other part, the wages of sin is the absence of all spiritual life right now. You don't have any spiritual life apart from Christ. That's part of the wages of sin. Adam had it before, but when sin entered in, he lost it because he was separated from God. And so what we're doing is the world is operating, and we did as well, operating in what's called the flesh. It doesn't mean just specifically that flesh that way, but it means the flesh life, the life apart from God. We're operating in that sense there. It's a satanic agency. It has an evil bias. You know that nobody ever had to teach you how to sin? Nobody. Who taught you to lie? No, you know it. You learned it. You knew that. It's like falling off a log. Listen, you can sin without even trying. You have to be taught to do right. You have to take, you got little children. You teach your little, kids to say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Don't take that, and not to be selfish and not to tell a lie. You have to teach them that. They're going to tell a lie without you. How do you know? Well, they're crying like their arms being tore off when there's nothing wrong with them. They're lying, right? I mean, boy, you take one of them little toy away, and boy, they can start screaming and hollering like somebody's killing them. They're not dying. It's, you know, we sin. It's a natural thing. So we have a tendency, a propensity apart from Christ, the Spirit of God, to sin. Those Egyptian taskmasters that were driving the slaves, the slave life represents the flesh to us today. The flesh can have tyrannical control. They're so consumed with anything. They can go off here apart from God. They get into drugs, man. The meth heads, you can see them on TVs. The meth heads, they keep shooting themselves up with them drugs. All their teeth have fallen out. Their hair has fallen out. They're 30 years old. They look like they're 80 years old. They cannot quit because the flesh has mastered their life. Alcoholic, drug addicts, porn addicts, it don't matter what. It's just got control of people's lives all over the world today. That is the same picture. Those, when they were Egyptian slaves in Egypt, the Israelites, they didn't have no time off. They didn't have time to do much of nothing. They did what the Egyptians said. They had control of their whole life, their daily function, day to day, everything. And that's what the flesh does to us apart from Christ as well. But that's not God's purpose, and that's not God's desire. And so he was going to send a Redeemer, Jesus Christ, pictured in the Passover that we just read about, in the fullness of time. We know in the Hebrew economy, they had the sacrificial system. All those animals they sacrificed, pictured the sacrifice one day, the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the shed blood. And we understand that. And now after Christ came and died and shed his blood, we don't have to sacrifice animals anymore because that sacrifice wasn't sufficient and as well. And so in the meantime, before Jesus came, there was the types, a typification of what was eventually going to take place. Now, those are the gist of that what's going on there. But there's some other significant spiritual pictures pictures there that we can learn from, and I really want to talk to you about that, kind of how it applies to us today. If you're here saved or maybe not saved, you'll fit into this category. There's at least three types of people represented by three things that we're looking at right here, and if you know the story of where God was leading them, and I'll talk about that in a minute. You're either living in Egypt, you're living in the wilderness, or you're living in Canaan. Those are the three places. Everybody in here, you're in one place or the other, typification of it. If you're in Egypt, you're lost. All lost people are living in Egypt. They're under the power of the flesh. There's nothing to do about it. There's people that are saved, but they live in the wilderness. That's the carnal Christian, man. They're wandering around in the wilderness. They haven't got to the place that God wants them to be in this life. They're not accomplishing much. Spiritually speaking, they're not accomplishing anything for God. They're wandering around in circles. And then there's the land of Canaan, which is not heaven. It's a spiritual place that God wants you to get to in this life. Boy, you're walking in victory. Huh? You're following where God leads. And we can get to that. It's not an impossibility. You can live in that place, and you should be, as a matter of fact. And I'll show you in just a minute how that goes. God has a lot more for us than just redemption from being sinners, being a sinner, or from sin. He's got a lot more than that. Salvation's not the only, we're saved not only from the consequence of sin, but from the condition of sin, the condition of the sinful life. He saves us from that. And there's a lot more to enjoy in this life. I've said this to you before. Well, when are you going to quit preaching on that preacher? When you get it. I'm going to quit it when you get it. Okay, how about that? That's a little snappy phrase. I'm going to quit it when you get it. There's so much more in this life to enjoy. If we ever get this Christ life thing straight, we'll have it straight. So I just got 3 points for you this morning. You can say amen right there. Hallelujah. He's not going to talk too long. I talk so much at the Sunflower Festival, I can barely talk. First thing we look at, where God leads. Notice verse 11 of our text. I got it underlined in my Bible because it stands out, and these are some of the key things I want to talk about. It says, he talked about the Passover, what they were supposed to do, how they had to slay the lamb, how they had to put the blood on the doorpost, and then they had to eat everything, and anything that was left over they didn't eat, they had to burn it with fire. And in verse 11 it says, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, Your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. Now, brother, that looks like some people that's getting ready to go somewhere, doesn't it? Huh? I mean, they got the staff in their hand. They got their shoes on. Their loins girded means they got their clothes on. Everything's good. They're ready to go somewhere. Okay? God's saving them from those Egyptians that night. They're going somewhere, though. They just wasn't safe. Listen, God could have just thought it, breathed it, waved his hand over the Egyptians. They'd all been dead, and they could have took over right there. He could have killed all the Egyptians in one night. On the Passover night, he could have killed them all. And all of God's people would have been sitting there and said, wow, man, they're all dead. Hey, we'll just start living now. We don't have to be slaves. We'll live right here. But no. God didn't do it that way. God said, listen, I want you to go. I'm taking you out of there. I got a place for you. It's going to be a better place. I don't know if I've never been to Egypt. I don't know if anybody's been to Egypt. All the pictures I ever see, it just looks like a lot of sand. There's a lot of sand, right? I mean, it didn't really look like, hey, boy, this is a place I think we're going to come live and build. We're going to grow a garden right over here. No, it don't look like that to me. I know there's probably better looking places than what we see on TV. Got to be. But there's somewhere to go. So when God saves us, this is the picture. When God saves us, he leads us out of the old life. It's when I get saved and say, hey, whoo, man, I came down to the altar and I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins, and I got saved, and whoo-wee, man, I've arrived. That's the end of the deal. I'm saved, and whew, boy, thank God for that. And you stay living the same way all the while throughout. You know, that's not what happened. He said, you're going to have your loins girded, your staff in your hand, your shoes on your feet. I'm taking you to another place. Listen here, Romans 8:1 says this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk. If you're walking, aren't you, you're going somewhere, right? Unless you're just walking in a real tight circle, you're moving, right? Those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's a walk, man, it's a new walk. It's a new walk. It's a radical change. This is what salvation is. It's a radical change in how and where you walk. There's a lot of people that's claiming that they're saved, but I'm going to tell you what, they're still walking in Egypt. They are still walking around in Egypt. They never got out of Egypt, much less get to the wilderness where you're still not where God wants you to be. They hadn't even got out of Egypt yet. So, and over in chapter 13, verse 5, it tells us that this is where God's going to lead us, lead them to, it said, the land of the Canaanites. It says that, so we know that's where Canaan is. It's not heaven, it's a place on earth. The second point is what they did. Now, when God says, okay, you got everything on, you're leading out, and God worked it out where, man, the Egyptian people, finally Pharaoh said after the death of the firstborn, you know, because Pharaoh didn't want to let them go. But after the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh said, okay, listen, y'all go. Not only did they go, the Egyptian people said, here's some jewelry, here's some gold, here's some food, some provision. Take all that, man, y'all get on out of Dodge. And then they went, they started heading out, and then they got out there a little ways, and Pharaoh changed his mind. And, Pharaoh came after him. We know about that. And so we got down there. Here comes the Egyptian army. The people of God cried out. You know what happened? Moses prayed to God, and you know, we say Moses parted the Red Sea. No, God parted the Red Sea. Moses just, you know, but the Red Sea was parted. Water stacked up, I don't know how high, by faith, and they didn't have a lot of options here. By faith, they had to go through, they had to step through on dry ground and walk through the Red Sea. Went through on dry ground to the other side. Listen, man, you sound, wow, that's a wild, listen, God, it ain't nothing for God, right? It's nothing. Okay, they trusted God to part the Red Sea. They trusted God through Moses to lead them out and to walk over on dry ground. And we know what happened when the Egyptian army got in the water, and this is part of it too. It's not like this is some filler information. The Red Sea collapsed and killed Egypt. Picture it this way, killed Egypt, not the Egypt, but Egypt. It was a place of death. When you go down, when you become a Christian, and you say, listen, we have a ceremony, it's called baptism. It's only ceremonial. You're not saved through baptism. Your sins aren't washed away by baptism. It just pictures the new life that you now have. And baptism pictures for us also a place of death. Death to the old life. Death to the old self. Death to the flesh. And when you come up out of that water, you're now raised in the likeness of his spirit. Huh? You're raised up in the new life. That's the picture right there. That's what it really meant for them. All the old taskmasters, the flesh for us, those guys drowned, the whole army drowned in the Red Sea, and so it was a place of death, and that's the picture for us today. And then, of course, what happened, though? You know what happened? It wasn't a very far journey. They got over to the Jordan River. God took them right to the place he wanted to lead them to. They got there. This always baffled me. They got there and they sent some spies over to check everything out, sent some people over, some from each tribe, and they went over and looked at the land, and they came back and they said, yep, man, it's a good-looking land. Flows with milk and honey. It's great. He said, but, always put a but. My pastor used to say this. He said, don't put a but where God puts a period. Huh? It was a good land. They put a but there. They said, but it's got walled cities. It's got a lot of people. There's giants over there. They look like grasshoppers. We're not going to be able to do it. This just blows my mind. The Egyptian army was the most powerful nation in the world. You already got that taken care of. Why should you worry about anything else? But, you know, we'd be right there with them. Don't, you know, y'all bobbing your head. Yeah, I know that. No, we'd be right there with them. They went over there because you're Baptist, and Baptists are the biggest worry warts there are in the world. Huh? They went right over there. They could have went in, but they didn't go in. So we had a faith failure right there. And they wouldn't exercise faith in God to go possess the land. And they you know, and so many people, and you know what happened to them? They ended up wandering around. They wandered around. Caleb and Joshua, they came back and they said, oh, no, look, we can do it. They had faith. And you know, they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. I've seen a map of where they went. It crisscrosses. They crossed their own tracks so many times. They went all around, around. They were living. They were God's people. They were saved out of Egypt, but they never got to the place that God intended them to get to. All of them died that was of age, except for Joshua and Caleb. They all died. They didn't go in. Y'all know that stuff. But the key to the whole thing, this is what happened. In chapter 12, it says in verse 1, it said, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, and he went on and he talks about the thing being the beginning. In verse 12. In verse 7 and 8, Deuteronomy chapter 12. I'm right now. Deuteronomy chapter 12. It said, these are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. So in Deuteronomy 12:1, he said, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're supposed to do all the days. The land I give to you, it's the land of Canaan. Okay, that's what he told them. Verse 7 and 8, though, it says, and there shall ye eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice. Okay, got that? Hold on to that word. Ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, and ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. And then he says in verse 8, ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whosoever is right in his own eyes. Whatsoever is right in his own eyes. This is the key. This is what I want you to get. He said, listen, you're going to go into the land, you're going to possess it, and you're going to celebrate. You're going to rejoice. Not doing what you're doing this day right now. You know what you weren't doing? They didn't go in and possess the land, and every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. That's what I'm trying to get you to. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no sense of the sovereignty of God. And this means that their conduct was controlled by their own convictions, what their heart thought. And of course, we know the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, no man can know. But they weren't being led by the direction of God. This is the wilderness life. And I tell you what, man, 90% of the Christians in the world today are living here. They're not, they got out of Egypt, they got saved. I'm talking about not 90% of the people in the world, 90% of the Christians, I'm saying, the people that did get saved. They're living right here. And it's the carnal life. It's like they're saved, they had enough faith to trust God for salvation, but they don't have enough faith in God to lead them in their life. And you hear it comes out in words like this. Well, you know, I decided to do this or not do that. I made the decision. It's not like what God said. It's like they did it. Think about this. 40 years, can you imagine, what did they accomplish in the 40 years wandering in the wilderness? Nothing. They didn't accomplish anything. Walking along, said the Bible says that their clothes didn't wear out. They didn't even get to change, ladies. They didn't get a new fashion deal every year. They walked around 40 years, man. Hadn't we been here before? Yeah, we've been right here before. Going around in circles, year in, year out, nothing changed. Pack up. How many of you like moving? Anybody like moving, right? So they would stay in a place for a few days, maybe sometimes for a few weeks. Pack up. Remember, God led them by a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Oh, pillar's moving. Pack it up. Everybody pack up. Oh, man, huh? You'd be hating life. Ain't no wonder everybody was aggravated all the time. And so let me ask you this. See, because I'm preaching to you guys, and this applies, somebody in here this applies to. What have you been doing with your life since you were saved? What have you accomplished for God since you were saved? Have you been doing what God directs in your life, or have you been doing what is right in your own eyes? Quiet. Very quiet in here. Don't get no amens on these, huh? Are you deciding what your career will be? Are you deciding who you're going to marry? Are you deciding what to do with your time? Are you deciding how you spend your money? Do you have those rights? On the one hand, you do, but on the other hand, you don't. You know what right we have as God's people? We have the right to do what's right. In the sight of God, though, in God's eyes, not in our eyes. So there we are. This is what they were doing. They didn't go in. They didn't follow where God led. They walked around the wilderness. It was a monotonous life. Now, I'm not going to get you to raise your hand, but I'm going to tell you something right here. You don't have to. I already know. How many of you can say without a shadow of a doubt that your Christian life has been a monotonous, drudgery Christian life? Don't have no amens on that, right? It's just the way it is. I know. Listen, I can preach this anywhere in the world. I can go to any church in the world and preach this message. Huh? I'm going to get the same response, too. Listen. So now we think about this third point. What did they think? What were they thinking about? What did they think? This ain't a real technical outline as far as the titles of the points, but what did they think about? 40 years. Think about this. You're one of them. You got saved out of Egypt. You got to walk through the Red Sea. You saw that action. Now for 40 years, you walk around. What do you think you would be thinking about all that time? Well, not only what did they think about, what did they do? I can probably add, this probably could have fell under what they did, but there's something to think about. In Numbers chapter 11, it tells us one of the things they did. You know what they did? They complained a lot. Baptists, right? They had to be. Independent Baptists. They complained all the time about everything. And complaining, listen to me, complaining is always a sign that you're walking around in the wilderness in your spiritual life. You're not in Canaan, you're in the wilderness in your spiritual life. They complained about everything. You know, you see it, listen, I see it today. Complain about the pastor. complain about the church members, complain about the ministries. They complain about the ministries the church isn't doing, and they complain about the ministry the church is doing. I mean, just whining and complaining all the time. You know why? Because they're not satisfied with themselves. That's human nature. That's what we do, right? They're not where they're supposed to be as far as God's will is concerned. And you know what? You know this. Exodus 16, God said, listen, I'm going to provide for you. They needed some food. They had left Egypt and they needed food. So God said, listen, I'm going to give you manna. Remember that? Manna. It talks about what it looks like, a little white, like a little bread thing. It said it was sweet like honey. Sounds good. But guess what happened in when you get down that far? They started complaining about the manna. Manna in the morning, manna at lunch, manna at supper time, manna tomorrow morning, manna tomorrow at lunch, manna at supper time. They were complaining, year in, day out. Guess what? You'd have been complaining too. And I'm going to tell you why they were complaining. They weren't supposed to be eating manna for 40 years. They were supposed to be in the promised land eating in land that flowed with milk and honey. They was only supposed to eat manna for just a few weeks to get them over into the promised land. They didn't get to where God had them. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're wandering around in the wilderness and your Christian life is a drag, I mean, you know, you got to force yourself to go to church. You got to force yourself to pray. You got to force yourself to read your Bible. You're wandering around moaning and groaning and complaining about everything else that's going on in your church life. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. You're in the wilderness. Get over in the land of Canaan, man. And everything else ain't going to bother you no more. Huh? You won't be eating the same old thing. It'll be the milk. It'll be the honey. Bunches of grapes, they said, took two men to carry the grapes in, man. You'll be eating what God's got for you in life, man. That's the problem. No wonder you're complaining. I've been complaining too, if that's what it is right there. That's the difference right there. They said they were supposed to rejoice. Huh? They were supposed to rejoice. How does all you complaining look to your children? Huh? You ever wonder why, you know, so many kids grow up in churches today, and when they get to be adults, guess what? They're not in church. Why? Because they listen to you whine and complain about your preacher every day of the week. Whine and complain about your church all the time. And then you're going to try to convince them that church is a good thing? Uh-uh. Complaining about all the people down there. It's like if little Johnny could really talk, he'd look at them and say, Mom, why y'all go down there then? Huh? And they're probably asking themselves the same question. Supposed to rejoice. I'll tell you why the children get that way and they leave the church, because their parents have been walking around the wilderness all their Christian life. What else could they think about? What could they really think about? They haven't gone to the promised land. They couldn't think about that. So where'd they think? Backwards or forwards? They thought back. And it even talks about it in Numbers chapter 11. It said, they didn't think about the slavery. We should have went back to Egypt. Boy, we remember the fish. I was reading one commentator talked about that. Can you imagine thinking about eating fish in that climate? Huh? Carrying fish around all day in the desert, man, in that climate. We thought about the fish. They thought about the melons, the cucumbers. Somebody said cucumbers was just an indigestion in a form, you know. Cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions. All they could think about was what they came out of. That's all they experienced. That's all they knew. They just knew about that carnal life that they had, the old life. Because the new life that they only read about, they only heard about it, the spies came back and said, this is what it looks like. They'd only heard about it. They hadn't experienced it. How can you think about something you never experienced? So how many Christians never got to the place that God would have them to get to? Huh? We read about these revivals that take place where the power of God came on the church so strong and the love of God flowed out so strong. I mean, people came down the altars and wept over their sin. And I mean, God was moving, man. People were getting right with one another. They were getting right with God. I mean, man, they were just full of God. We read about it. But how can we think about it all the time? Because we never experience it. You can't get to it. We haven't, and we never, we haven't got totally in God's will. So how do you know what that feels like? You don't know. You can't think about it. All you can think about is the old life you came out of. No, that's all they could do. And no wonder your Christian life is a bore and a drudgery, because you haven't possessed what God wants to give you. Therefore, you can't think about it. So the question, what preoccupies your mind? What are you looking forward to in the Christian life? Or are you just looking back to the old life? Listen, I know I've seen too many people that supposed to have been redeemed or saved go back to the old life. That's the only direction they could go. They didn't know. If Israel had gone on into Canaan, they wouldn't have been eating manna, the same old thing. Don't you get sick of the same old thing? Huh? Really? I mean, you know, I like a good old steak, but I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, I know myself. I wouldn't want it every night, every day for every meal. Might be all right for a little while, but huh? You wouldn't want it. Well, what if your Christian life, it's the same thing every week, every month, every year, no experience with God, no power of God in your life? Well, aren't you going to get bored with that? Isn't it going to be old? Sure it is. Sure it is. That's not what God intended. If they'd have gone on to Canaan, they'd have been eating, man, the milk and honey, man, they'd have been enjoying all those vineyards that were already planted, the houses that they could live in. They had no memories of Canaan. They'd never experienced it. And listen, if you haven't surrendered your life to the absolute sovereignty of Jesus Christ, all the promises in here, all the promises in the Word of God, and all the victories that are spoken about in the Word of God are irrelevant to you. You don't know anything about it. You can't even think about it. Our mind can only be filled with what we have experienced, what we experience. They were commanded to celebrate the Passover every year. They were commanded, I read that a minute ago. They were commanded to celebrate the Passover every year. You know how many times they celebrated the Passover in the wilderness? One time. Only one time. The second year of the 40 years. The second year, because they had to have corn to do it with, and they had enough corn that they had brought out of Egypt with them. But guess what? After that, they didn't have any. They couldn't celebrate the Passover. Why? Because they didn't plant anything in Egypt. They hadn't planted anything. Therefore, there was nothing that grew. Because they were wandering, they were traveling, see the picture. What have you planted in your Christian life? What have you got? What fruit is there? They didn't plant. If you don't plant, you don't reap. You can't celebrate. Rejoice? Mm-mm. No. Listen, there's a lot of Christians. They're the most joyless people I know. They don't have anything to celebrate. They never celebrated the Passover feast again until they went into the Promised Land. Then they had a harvest. They got where God wanted them to be. It's the same with you and I. We're never gonna do anything to amount to anything for God. We're not gonna plant, we're not gonna reap. We'll reap, but it won't be what God intended us to reap till we get to the place that God has us to be. Where are you living? You're either in Egypt, you're in the wilderness, or you've gotten to Canaan, the place that God would have us to be. Let's all stand with our heads bowed.